The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is a Christmas book for children ages 5 through 9. It's titled The Christmas Connection. You can find out more about this new Christmas Arch book at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase The Christmas Connection by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will discover the relationship between Jesus' birth and resurrection in The Christmas Connection. 1-800-325-3040. We keep our Issues Etc. comment line open 24/7 for our listeners, because we know that especially our on-demand listeners are listening out of sequence. They're listening long after, or at least sometime after the live broadcast. That means that they don't have an opportunity during the live broadcast to ask a question, to jump in on the conversation, to make a suggestion, to offer a correction. That's why the Issues Etc. listener comment line exists. You can call it any time of day or night, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. And as often as we can, we'd like to respond to some of the comments there. Let's begin with a comment about our recent interview on liturgical furniture with Pastor Will Whedon.
Hi, this is Justin calling from San Diego. I'm commenting, he wanted to make a comment concerning Pastor Whedon's segment on liturgical furniture. Specifically when he was talking about the pews and how at one point you could rent them and then kind of be a status symbol. Well, a few years ago I was traveling in Norway and I was in one of these historic state churches, and in the back of the church there was a miniature balcony / platform, I guess you could call it, where I was told that that was specifically designed for the pastor's wife to sit. Seems a bit strange for our rather egalitarian, everybody's equal American Christianity, but I thought it was interesting. That was the first thing that I thought of when Pastor Whedon was talking about the pews and the seats being kind of a status symbol. Thanks for listening.
Well, there's nothing that the church does rightly that can't be abused. The best practices can be abused. It sounds like a case there. If you're getting the straight scoop on what that piece of furniture was actually about, a place for the pastor's wife to sit in some sort of elevated position, probably not the best idea. Although one might imagine that in an earlier age, when the radical egalitarianism of our thinking was not prevalent, people might not have been offended by something like that at all. I remember the first time I encountered a high pulpit. Now, ordinarily, we think about a pulpit as kind of a floor-level device, not exactly floor-level, maybe up a step or two, but there are, in many, many churches, high pulpits. That means pulpits that are set up way high, up on the wall. If you go to the cathedral in St. Louis, the new cathedral, as they call it, in St. Louis, you're going to see a pulpit that is really tall. And there's a good reason for that. Some people are offended by it because they think, well, that's elevating the pastor above the people. Well, it was kind of physically necessary to elevate the pastor above the people. Think of it, if you would, as yesteryear's big screen, when they didn't have a big screen to put the pastor's face, his smiling face up there in, 12-foot high def. When they didn't have that, you needed a way for the pastor not just to be seen. That was not as necessary, but really more than the sight lines were the sound lines. You needed a place for the pastor to be able to speak, read God's word, and he could be heard. And that meant elevating the pulpit. Also, it served the function of confessing something. That was one of the elements that came out in our conversation with Pastor Will Whedon on liturgical furniture, part of our greater series on, I think we're calling the series, Setting the Lord's Table with Pastor Will Whedon. And that is, everything that the church does, whether the church thinks it does or not, confesses something, all the way down to the furniture. What are we confessing? That doesn't mean that every element of these things is in fact something that you go to the mat for. But we need to be constantly aware of what we are confessing by what we do and how we do it. We are saying something, whether we think we're saying something or not. So the high pulpit was not intended to confess that the pastoral office is something high and far above the people. It was intended for a practical purpose so that the preaching of God's word and the reading of God's word could be heard. It was also intended to confess that the word of God is elevated among God's people, that it is held in high regard. So we lift it up to show that it is held in high regard. That's what it was intended to confess. Now, if these things are taught properly, then whether your pulpit sits at the ground level or your pulpit sits up high in the church, you can rightly understand them. And I imagine, although it's hard for me to come up with something off the top of my head, why elevating the pastor's wife on her own little, maybe people just didn't want to be with her. By elevating the pastor's wife up into her own little piece of furniture, what that was intended to rightly confess, I can't really think of that right now, but giving them the benefit of the doubt, maybe it did. But the great thing is to walk through those churches, be the old churches, new churches, and ask that critical question. Walk into a big box church and say, what does this confess? What does it confess? I was in a famous Baptist church, I think a Baptist church in St. Louis, a couple nights ago, and very different from the layout of a Christian church, but it's amazing how liturgical some of the old Baptists could be when they built their churches and they had the money to do them. But you have to ask that question. What does this say? What are we trying to confess of Christ, of his word, of his sacraments, of the Christian faith in all of this furniture?
This is Greg from Hawaii, and I am an on-demand listener. I'd like to call in, nominate, vote for Pastor Todd Wilkin on his explanation and making the distinction between the scoreboard result of a baseball game versus all that baseball provides in the lives of the employees and spectators surrounding the game and God's provision and first article gifts for us all. So thank you for that. And I also want to add thank you for all that you do. You may deny that you're a teacher on the show, but and that your guests are the real teachers, but you certainly are the teacher. Maybe not the big contract pitcher, but you guys are the catchers behind the plate calling a good game every single time. So thank you for all that you do. God bless.
Thank you very much. Very kind words. I like the analogy, catcher. That's pretty good. Yeah, people say that I get paid to talk, and I really don't. I get paid to listen to my guests and then ask questions so that everyone can listen some more. My insight there on baseball, and let's not trivialize these major league sports in and of themselves. The game itself is neither here nor there, but the industry and the amount of families and people and production that they provide for the incomes of families that depend on that. Now, I'm not just talking about the million-dollar players. I'm talking about the people who work and drive the trucks and all the kinds of things that need to do just to put on one season of Major League Baseball. That insight really is just borrowed and stolen almost entirely from the 16th century Martin Luther when he's talking about daily bread in the Large Catechism. Give us this day our daily bread. And he says, we're not just praying for the bread basket. That is where we keep the bread and what's in there. We're praying for everything that God has done to provide the bread that ends up on our plate. Everything, the farmer, the fields, the animals, the ox that pulls the plow, the man who made the plow, the guy who thought up the plow, all those things that God has been doing all along to see to it that each and every day, daily bread ends up on your plate. When you start to think about God's provision for us in that sense, and what you're praying for when you say, give us this day our daily bread, and what we give thanks for when we give thanks for our meal, we're not just giving thanks for the food on the plate. We are giving thanks for everything that God does to provide it. speaking of providing, Julie Johnson just gave us an updated financial figure this afternoon. With 3 weeks left in 2016, we are now $54,000 short of this year's expenses. Our listeners have cut that number in half in the last 3 weeks. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make a contribution by check. Make your check payable to Issues, etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. That's Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2016. Tomorrow, we're going to discuss a new report on abortion clinic conditions with Clark Forsythe. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.